This is the passage that my grandfather commonly quotes on his way up to the pulpit. Then that of Psalms 107, verses 8, verses 15, 21, and 31. The psalmist quotes this same phrase four times in this one chapter of the Bible. That is verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Oh, how great it is to thank the Lord for His goodness to us. With it being about to be the new year here, and 2015 is about to be up, as we look past this year, as we look back at what we have done for the Lord, it's time that we thank God for His goodness to us. I've looked in your bulletin, I've heard stories from my parents about the great things that are going on here at the Tanner Church of Christ, about the different ministries you have, about the different organizations you have, the different baptisms and responses that you've had. This church is on fire for Jesus Christ. And it's time that we thank God for His goodness to us. God's mighty hand has been in the work at this church. In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 13, the Bible says, I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Brethren, it is time that we all see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living through this congregation, because God's hand has been in this congregation and He has been good to us. Oh, how we all need to say that we have seen the King through our works here at Tanner Church of Christ. How we all need to shout that God is good, because He rightfully is. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, as I was talking about, you all have done these wonderful things to further the borders of the kingdom of the church. You all have done these wonderful things. But is your work over? Just because that 2015 is over, does that mean that we do not have to work even that much harder in 2016? The Bible says here that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Does this stop Paul from continuing in the work? Just because the Bible, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ has been preached to every creature in Limestone County, does that mean our work is over? It certainly does not. Brethren, our work is not over. Paul's work was not over. So let's continue to work for the King in 2016. Tonight we're going to be talking about how great it is to be a child of God. You know, as I have grown up here in Limestone County, and as I have grown up here and observed Christians around me, a lot of times I see Christians with their heads down, moping around as if God is not on their side, as if Jesus Christ has not redeemed their sins. I see Christians walking into churches, hello, just marking a checklist as if God is not changing their lives. One reason why it is great to be a child of God, and one reason why we are talking about this tonight, is found in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. Here Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Brethren, it is great knowing that there is not one thing that our God cannot do. There is not one thing that you cannot do if God is on your side. Look back through history. When God was on the Israelites' side, what happened? They got the work done. When God was on the Christian side, the apostles' side in the New Testament, they got the work done. Brethren, if God is on our side here at Tanner Church of Christ, we will get work done. Do we believe this? Do we truly and honestly believe that God is on our side? You know, we sing songs about it and we pray prayers about it, about how God is with us. But do we truly believe that God, our Father, is with us on a daily basis? I challenge this congregation to believe that fact. Because, brethren, it is a fact. God is with us. The first reason why we're going to be talking about why it's great to be a child of God is that the children of God live the abundant life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus would say, "The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Did you know that over 587 times, over 587 times, the Bible promises us peace, joy, contentment, and happiness? Over 580 times, the Bible promises us, God our Father promises us these four things. Should this not convince us all that God, our faithful Father, wants us to be happy? As I said earlier, I've decided to speak on how great it is to be a child of God. Brethren, living a faithful, dedicated, and zealous life for the Lord will produce wonderful benefits in your life, and will produce wonderful benefits in the lives of those who are around you. You know, Jesus was a giver and not a getter. Jesus Christ gave. Jesus Christ's entire mission was to give. A lot of Christians' mission is to get. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for we know in due season we reap if we do not lose hope. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Brethren, the Bible tells us that if we sow giving, we will in turn reap blessings. Too many people in the churches of Christ, too many people in the church in general, are getters instead of givers. Too many people in the church are looking to get more out of their minister, more out of their elders, more out of the other members of the church than they are willing to give in. I have three things that will fix this mindset and will fix this problem in our church. Try giving, giving, and giving. The more that you give, the Bible says, the more that you will receive. The more that you give in to your members, the more that you give to your elders, the more that you give to your preacher, the more that you will in turn receive. You know, most children of God don't even realize that we are blessed in the very name that we wear, Christian. The name Christian was prophesied about 700 years before the life of Christ. Isaiah would write in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 15, "You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by a new name." In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3, Isaiah writes, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and all the kings to the brightness of your rising." Isaiah would write in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, "The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all the your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord would name." Now, in these prophecies that were uttered about 700 years before Christ, we can find a few things. First, that God's people would be called by a new name. Second, that the Gentiles and kings would come to the light, and that the Gentiles and kings would see the righteousness of God. And lastly, that this name that would be called would be named by the mouth of God. Now fast forward 60 years after the death of Christ, we find in the book of James, James, the brother of Jesus, writes, "Do they not blaspheme this worthy and honorable name by which you were called?" See, here we find the Christians, they were wearing that name. The Bible says they blaspheme that worthy and honorable name by which you were called. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, Jesus says, "And hath patience, and hath borne, and hath labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary." So here, years after, we see Christians wearing the name of Christ, Christians laboring in it, and we see Jesus Christ commending them for doing so. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we find the very first time the word Christian appears in the Bible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." Fast forward a few chapters in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 26, verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuadest me to be a Christian." Now there's something I want to point out about this passage. When Agrippa says to Paul, "You almost persuadest me to be a Christian." First thing I want to point out, does Agrippa say to Paul, "Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Catholic"? Does Agrippa say to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Baptist, a Methodist"? To bring it home to this congregation, does Agrippa say to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Church of Christ"? No, he doesn't. Agrippa says to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, many times growing up, I would hear my friends, I would hear my fellow members of the church introduce themselves as churches of Christ. "Hi, I'm a church of Christ." Well, brethren, are we churches of Christ? Brethren, we need to go by our God-given name. Our God prophesied through Isaiah that we would be called Christians. Yet we have Christians who don't even understand the very fundamental of their own name. Brethren, you are not a church of Christ. You attend a church of Christ. Brethren, as you go out through your everyday walks of life, introduce yourself as a Christian. Because if you do anything else, you sound just like the denominations out there. We need to go by our God-given names, Christian. Here we see in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Brethren, it is great to be a child of God because the very name that we wear. Worldly and ungodly people cannot wear this name. They might say they wear it, but God knows. It is blessed to us that we have the name Christian. Christians ought not to be ashamed of the name that they wear. Many times my friends growing up would be ashamed to let anyone know that they were a Christian and that they lived by the Word of God. We need to wear this sacred God-spoken name with honor and with respect to the one who gave it to us. The next reason why we need to talk about it is great to be a child of God is because God is able. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul would write, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Brethren, Christians should be dreaming great dreams and planning great plans. What kind of vision do you have for your future as a member of the Lord's church? What kind of plans is this congregation planning? I have a few suggestions that should be the dreams of every member of the Lord's church. Every congregation should have these dreams. This isn't a comprehensive list. This is just a few things. First, to each Lord's Day, each Sunday, truly exalt God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in devoted worship. Number two, to believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think. Because, brethren, when we realize that God is able, we will not be afraid to go to that person who we think does not deserve the gospel. We will not be afraid to go to that person who we think will not receive the gospel, because we will know that God is able. We might not be able to reach that person, you're exactly right, but God our Father is always able. The next thing we need to do is to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. That's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, and John chapter 20 and verse 21. You see, in every single gospel book, Jesus made sure to put the Great Commission in it. In every single gospel book, Jesus Christ made sure that the call to go and make more Christians was put in that book. The next thing we need to do is edify, evangelize, and glorify this town, this state, this country, and this world. The next thing we need to do is to grow in unity, as Jesus prayed in John 17. Some of Jesus' last words, one of Jesus' last prayers to His Father was about unity in the church. Yet today we find very few instances of unity in the church. Brethren, we can do all these things. We can fulfill all of these things. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8 and verse 37. We need to open our eyes to our opportunities. God is opening doors for each of us. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says that God is opening doors for us, and no man can shut the door that God opens. We need to open our eyes to the power of God, the power of Jehovah God. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." You see, Syria's army had surrounded the great city of Dothan with a great number. And one of Elisha's servants cried out and said, "Elisha, what shall we do? This number is too great. We cannot beat this great number." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and the young man saw, and all around them was chariots of fire. We need to be people who have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. It is great to be a child of God because God is able. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, the Bible tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your understanding, and lean not with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." The next reason we need to talk about why it is great to be a child of God is because the Christian life is set apart. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul lists the works of the flesh. He then turns around in the next few verses and starts talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Brethren, we as Christians are blessed that we do not work in the works of the flesh, but that we work in the fruits of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 if you would. Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." You know, many Christians fail to produce acceptable fruit unto God. Many Christians fail to produce these fruits of the Spirit. The child of God must abide in Christ in order to be a faithful child of God. And the child of God must abide in these things in order to be a faithful child of God. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brethren, it is a great thing to have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Just look at the passage as I tell you these fruits of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. You know, it's no wonder that after giving this list of things, we see the Bible says, against such there is no law. What is the writer saying here? What does he mean, against such there is no law? Well, I think it means, this is just one man's opinion, after these things, after love, joy, peace, and all the list goes on, after all of these things, you can't think up a better way to live. After all these things, you can't think up a better law than to live by these things. You can't think up a better way to live. That's why the writer says, against such there is no other law. Because this is what Christians are supposed to live by. We need to see and understand that the life of a child of God is a happier life. Is a less burdensome life than the life of the child of the devil and the child that is walking in the lust of the flesh. It is great to be a child of God because the child of God's life is set apart from those who are around him. The next reason we need to talk about why it is great to be a child of God is that we have been given great and precious promises. If you will turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Here we read about the grand inheritance laid up for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Brethren, do you realize that the Bible promises us an inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it will not fade away. And it will be reserved for you if you are faithful to Jesus Christ. Oh, after hearing this passage, how we all must leave this building shouting in our hearts how great it is to be a child of God. How we all need to exclaim that God is good all the time. If you will turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, just a book over. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Here we read the Christian graces. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even into blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to notice about this passage is that these things are to be added to your faith. Most people think that once I become a Christian, I will automatically have this wonderful list of things. I will automatically have virtue. I will automatically have knowledge. I will automatically have self-control. But once you raise out of this watery grave of baptism, it is your duty as a child of God to each day try to add these things. Faith comes first because it is the core, it is the foundation of the rest of the virtues to follow. We cannot be content with a single grace listed. Because notice the Bible says, if these things are yours, you can't be content with being virtuous, you can't be content with having knowledge, you have to be content with obtaining all of these things. That is the goal of a Christian, to produce the fruits of the Spirit and to add the Christian graces to your life. Just look at these Christian graces and how great and how blessed we are to be children of God. The next reason we need to talk about why it is great to be a child of God is that the future looks so good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Brethren, it is great to be a child of God because of what's coming for us as Christians. The Bible says that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, our minds cannot even think up how great heaven will be for us one day. The Bible tells us and promises us